Okay, this is our first attempt at a podcast for Rucking Hell on the Certain Interpretation. And it's me, Jamie, and Ali, and we're going to look at this weekend's Summer Internationals for England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. And look back at Scotland from last week. So start by doing that, look back at Scotland's historic win over Australia, and then move on to this weekend and see what we think's going to happen. So Scotland beat Australia 9-6 in a classic encounter. What did you make of that?
Wow. One of the greats of modern times.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance.
Yes.
John Barkley, cemented in the Lions team, I think, after that.
Yeah. But seriously, it's one of the worst games of international rugby they've been in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the weather's that bad. They're two coaches, though, that I've always felt really sorry for, Andy Robinson and Robbie Deans, because they both seem to be doing all the right things as far as selection goes, and they both seem to keep losing.
Well, not all the right things. Strokosh is still there.
Yeah. But at the moment, yeah. But who else would you go in for instead of Strokosh? I don't know why he's ever been picked, but once you picked him, you had to go with experience.
Well, I mean, it worked in conditions where you're not expected to catch the ball. He came off pretty well. But
Yeah, they're the only conditions in which Nick DeLuca can be on a winning side as well. which is unfortunately true. But yeah, poor Robbie Deans, he's developing the right players, it seems. He sort of makes pretty sound selections, and yet he just keeps losing.
You can make compilations of him and Andy Robinson apologising. Yeah. It's all I ever see them do. They don't give positive interviews.
No, they seem to be doing what England don't do. They seem to be developing an incredible talent of players, but whereas England can win, they just keep losing.
Yeah, well, it's key positions, isn't it, that they're just not nailing down. Yeah. I mean, both teams, really. Laidlaw finally came in for Scotland at 10.
Yeah.
Well,
they won again.
It wasn't the dream, but got them through. But I mean, Berrick Barnes.
Yeah, he's not the answer. But having Ewan Murray actually play a full game could only have helped, especially against Australia.
Wow, yeah. I mean, Piper didn't do them any favours at scrum though, did he? But finally, last play.
That's definitely one thing you were going to see, I think, against Wales, is that James Horwell missing is going to badly affect their scrum.
Who are the second rows?
Nathan Sharp and Rob Simmons.
Yeah, it's not going to do it.
No, there's not much in the boiler room. Wales have gone with Bradley Davis as well, which I think is obviously resting Wyn Jones, but suddenly you've got a big boost in the scrum. He's a much bigger scrummager anyway. So we'll see if Wales, which they should dominate the scrum there.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. So moving on to this weekend, Wales against Australia. Surely Wales have to win this. Surely. Looking at the teams, you can't see anything else, especially that Robbie Deans has gone with a Waratahs front row. How many Waratahs do you have to include in that? You've got the front row, Parlou, Berrick Barnes. Who else is there? Rob Horn, is he starting?
Yeah.
So you've got six Waratahs, the second worst team in Australia. They're playing terrible rugby, and now they're making up the Wallabies team.
And Wales look really good as well.
Yes.
It pains me to say it, but they are looking intense. I mean, it's got to be 3-0 Wales. I think anything else is almost a failure, to be honest.
It has to be a failure. They're pretty much a full-strength team, missing one player from injury.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing. You surely can't see anything else being a success other than three wins.
I mean, I think is it Howley who's coaching at the moment?
No, yeah, Howley's coaching.
Yeah, I think he's got it right, hasn't he? I mean, Davis in, Scott Williams at 12 ahead of Beck. I mean, it's very simple. Both of them are just carriers. They've seen that Barnes and McCabe aren't the biggest in the midfield. Australia, obviously, just lost to Scotland. Just take it to them, isn't it? I
mean, you've got to.
Nothing fancy.
No. The set piece as well. I mean, Nathan Sharp and Rob Simmons are both line-out jumpers, which should give them enough parity in the line-out Australia. But scrum-wise, surely they're going to go backwards at rate of knots.
Who's reffing it? I mean, that's the...
I don't know. We can look it up. But in the meantime, like, surely Wales have got to win it. Referee for this weekend is Craig Huber.
Well, that's not going to help.
No, but it's better than some. You've got to hope they do something.
I don't see where Australia's win comes from in that game. Genia and Pocock are two potential match winners.
Yeah.
But against a team of 15 who have already proved it in the Six Nations and World Cup.
I know. It's all about the mental game, isn't it? If Wales keep it together mentally, they'll be fine. A few players under quite a bit of pressure, though, I think, in Wales. Priestland's one, who showed so much potential, but his big match temperament maybe disappearing a bit against England.
Well, it's just going to be playing in the right areas. I mean, as you say, you've got the set piece, you've got the power, you've got everything. But Phillips isn't renowned for his kicking game, as you say. No. Priestland's under pressure, and Halfpenny's never done an attacking kicking game from what I've seen.
No.
So the only chance I think Australia would have is turnover ball from Pocock or Genia hitting the corners, turning some of the big Welshmen and exerting pressure on the line-out maybe from there.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, there's nothing there.
Do you see Quade Cooper coming back in this series?
He's got to.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel sorry for Berrick Barnes. It's just, I think the game's moved on without him. It's the same as why Gitto got bumped on so quickly. I mean, 12s, they love a second 5-8, don't they, in Australia? That's what they call them.
Mm.
But you look at them now, they're trying McCabe. They want to match these Jamie Roberts, these Ma Nonus, these Sonny Bill Williams. Yeah. They can't do it. So Berrick Barnes has had to become a 10, and he just doesn't manage a game. Beautiful ball skills, but no one ever seems to be on the same wavelength as him. Watch him this weekend. The number of times he'll get caught in possession.
Yeah.
At the 10 channel.
Especially with the Welsh back row rushing up.
Yeah.
Lydian, Warburton, he should be in all sorts of trouble.
So I think the game's moved on without him, unfortunately. Yeah,
you'd hope. Last interesting point of this game, 90% chance of rain with a moderate wind. Surely were. That plays to Wales' hands even more. Australia hate the rain.
Well, they showed it against Scotland.
Exactly.
They weren't interested.
No, so what do you think of this last prediction for the game?
Yeah, it got to be Wales comfortably.
Yeah.
They might be nervous, but I'd still go 9-10 points.
I'll go 6. Wales by 6.
Yeah.
Moving on to the earlier game of the day, New Zealand-Ireland. For the neutral fan, this is the game to watch, surely. This is going to be...
Points best.
Yeah, this is going to be an exhibition in running rugby, surely. I mean, just look at the teams, how unbalanced they are. And no disrespect to the Irish, but they proved over and over again that they're a bit of a myth, especially international level and especially the Type 5. They've always, in the last sort of decade, based themselves on a strong second row with an enormous tight head in John Hayes. Now, both second rows have gone, John Hayes has gone, and it's just falling apart at the seams, surely.
I feel sorry for quite a few of their players, because, I mean, you look at a number of them, you think Lions, potential Lions.
Yeah.
But it's the other ones, the filler positions, that are just, awful. And it's just not Sonny Bill against Keith Earls. I don't know whose brainchild that was.
No, and looking at that selection, what's Declan Kinney doing? You've got New Zealand, who Dan Carter in the last few games with the Crusaders have looked nothing short of majestic. And Sonny Bill has been actually destroying the opposition. And putting Keith Earls, who is possibly the worst defensive midfield player in the internationals at the moment in the Northern Hemisphere, who, like, England won with the World Cup warm-up game just by running at Keith Earls all day. It's a nightmare. And Fergus McFadden and Simon Zeebo on the wings, neither of them can defend. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but this could get ugly.
I just, again, same with Australia. Where's that win coming from?
You'd think Ireland, look at the back row especially. So we're, I think, both agreed that New Zealand back line is horribly superior
to
the Ireland back line in almost every way. Julian Sevier versus Simon Zeebo. Well, Julian Sevier versus First McFadden and Guildford versus Zeebo. That could only go one way. You could see some hat tricks maybe. But looking at the packs, the New Zealand pack looks pretty good. Again, you keep thinking of the World Cups that they're going to have maybe a few years out. Brad Thorne's gone this year. Kaino's injured, but it looks good.
Very, very strong. And this Brodie Retallack, I mean, for anyone who hasn't seen the Super 15, is...
Yes. He's played in the Under-20s World Cup last year, and he's coming to the Chiefs now. Yeah, and Chiefs are top of the league, and people are saying he's the next great second row.
He's competent.
Yes. Sam Whitelock's had a brilliant season as well. And Victor Vito at 6, I think it's an interesting call. It looks like they're trying to match Ireland, because Ireland have gone with O'Mahony, the 8 at 6. Mm. And also, because you lose Brad Thorne, you've lost a big ball carrier in Brad Thorne. I think they're maybe looking at trying to replace him there. And also, he's had a great season as well. And you get a lot more ball carrying, a lot more sort of physical edge. So maybe they're looking at that. Could be why, but this can only go one way. Also, Declan Fitzpatrick at tight head. Any views on that?
Never heard of him.
No. He had a good game in the semi-final of the Heineken Cup, I think. He played 60 minutes there. Obviously, second choice to a foe. Didn't get on in the Heineken Cup final.
Yeah.
And he's against Tony Woodcock, who somehow gets away with scrummaging international level. Has done all his career.
And this is going to be a massacre.
Yeah. Anything else to say about this? I think this could get ugly. I want to see... I can't wait to see 60 minutes to see Ronan Lochney come on against a Frank's brother, probably.
Mm.
And yeah, so.
And when it's all going tits up, don't worry, Rog will come on like he did for the Lions and lead a crusade.
Yeah, few interesting things about the New Zealand selection though. Aaron Smith debut at 9, which is pretty fair. Incredible distribution. This is not my problem. You picked Fat Piriwipu on the bench.
No need.
TJ Perenara is having an incredible season. He looks amazing, but Steve Hansen said he's too young, which is fair enough. But why on earth leave out Andy Ellis? He's having a good season. He's a proficient 9, but not only that, but you've got an 8 in Kieran Reid, who's a Crusader, and a 10 in Dan Carter, who's a Crusader. Why not fill in the gap with another Crusader and just keep the momentum they've got in the Super 15 going? Why fat little Piri?
My only answer, I mean, Weepy's had a shocking Super 15. Mm. Well, Mehalamu calling him out for being fat doesn't help. Yeah. But would be that Ellis and Smith are pretty similar in the way they play the game. They're both, like, quick tempo. They're both distributors. Mm. So I guess if you did need to change something from the bench, Ellis wouldn't offer anything different. So I guess it was either Smith or Ellis.
Yeah.
And in terms of a long-term selection, Smith, and in terms of form, Smith is the better option.
Yeah, my theory might be as well, if Dan Carter starts struggling with the old groin kicking-wise, you can always bring Piri on at 9 to unload the kicking burden. Not that it's that reliable an option, but it's an option they could definitely take. And, so final predictions on this one?
I'll go NZ by 15, I think.
Yeah, I think that would be a moral victory for Ireland. If they can keep it below 2 scores, they've had a good performance. I just can't see this happening for them.
I mean, Sonny Bill saying their main threat is Bod, and he's, what is he, 30?
Gone 34 or something. Yeah. And he's against Conrad Smith, arguably the best defensive 13 in the world.
It's bleak.
Right, on to possibly the most exciting game of the weekend, the most closest probably, South Africa, England. We both agreed Australia, Wales will go to Wales, and New Zealand win the Ireland game.
Consensus so far.
What's going to happen here? I think let's look at the debutants for South Africa first, because it's something that a lot of commentators and pundits in the world, they don't really watch Super Rugby. We know this, it's a fact. They sort of read their stat sheet. They're going to see some names on here, and they might not know who they are, which is fair enough. We've called out Mayer quite a lot on the blog so far. What do you think of this team?
I like it.
Yes.
I think it's good. He's gone back, obviously, to the Bulls, the heartland of South African rugby, and the way they're going to play it. He's got the Bulls halfbacks who are just going to put up and unders all day long. Francois Stein, he's obviously not there for his carrying. He's there to put the ball in the air. Zane Kirshen are good in the air. Peterson and Habana, the two best chasing wingers in the world. Very simple game plan. Crewe and Etzebeth win the line out. And they squeeze.
Yes, they have some horrible carrying forwards as well. Alberts, Kutsia, Etzebeth, Bismarck and the Beast are enormous carriers.
Well, there are three areas of concern for England, I mean, mainly. The first one is, as we said, the kit chase. And fair play to Lancaster. I think Mike Brown is a bit of a coward, but we've got to do something to return the up-and-unders. Two fullbacks, one of whom can kick.
Yep.
Excellent, I like it. Proactive. Fine, can't argue with it. Second phase, the set piece. Now, we saw what the Beast did in the Lions tour. Hopefully, Dan Cole should be better. Marla Vianney, complete lottery at the best of times, with Steve Walsh reffing it. I mean, Marla in the Premiership and Hartley both stand up. Yanni, I will bet anyone, a tenner, will collapse the first scrum of the game.
Yes.
So I guess if it goes up, England are to blame. If it goes down, South Africa are to blame. And then Steve Walsh will penalise the attacking team anyway.
Yeah.
So, Can't really call that. So it goes down to the line-out, which, again, Etzebeth and Crewe, phenomenal options. Even Spies is competent.
Yeah, Spies is more than competent, isn't he?
And we've got Jeff Parling now that Tom Croft is gone.
Losing Tom Croft is enormous for this series. Crewe completely dominated the Premiership for Northampton when he was there. He seems to be doing a bit of the same for the Bulls. Now, not as dominant, but still just a pure line-out forward. Jeff Parling is a line-up forward, but he is no Tom Croft.
He's one of these myths. He's following in the footsteps of Borthwick in a line-out technician role, which all I seem to understand by that is they don't actually do anything around the park.
Mm.
So they get called a line-out technician, but Borthwick never seems to take anything. It's Hubert for Sarries.
Yep.
And then Croft does it for Leicester. So, you know, shut me up, Parling. Win us some line-out ball. Let's see it.
He hasn't really got many other options there, though. Rob Shaw's a sort of semi-competent jumper. both can jump, but after that, you're a bit thin on the ground. Like, getting Ben Morgan off the floor is going to be more effort than it's worth. Tom Johnson, how tall is he?
Not. A back ball, 6'3 and under, I think.
Yeah, so, I don't know. The lineup could be a bit of an issue.
Well, that's... obviously, they think so with Crewe and Etzebeth.
Yeah. Oh, Crewe and Etzebeth's enormous.
And then the third point, I mean, you... the blog, TCI, for those of you who have been following keenly, has already highlighted that they don't have Brissot, but...
Yes.
I don't even think they need him.
No.
Their game is going to be momentum. I mean, they don't ruck. They don't protect the ball like Flopshaw. They're going to go over and clear it.
Yeah, it seems like they're not interested in England's breakdown. They're just going to smash the tacklers, win the turnovers that way. Maybe they just don't think England have it in them to run at them. Like, they don't need to win the turnovers. They'll get enough ball as it is with this pack, which probably will.
Yeah.
And this is going to have to go and do it. Jean de Villiers at 13 doesn't show much creativity, does it?
Oh, nothing. Man. I mean, he's a wonderful player, but he's not going to make the outside break.
No.
So, Francois Mornay put it in the right place. Crewe pressures the line out, and then they just batter.
Two teams built in very similar moulds.
Unfortunately, theirs looks better.
It does. It just looks a bit bigger, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just a bit bigger everywhere.
So, come on, Steve Walsh and Tuilagi.
I can't wait to see Steve Walsh.
Highlight of the weekend. Yeah. Highlight of any weekend.
Can't wait to see that. That's going to be well worth it for everyone. So, predictions here, what do you reckon?
There's a lot of theories flying around, aren't there? Sea level, it's a big thing.
And yeah.
I'm stalling, though.
Well, regular blogger Louis Cattell thinks that England have got this one. He thinks that his view was that the South African team have only just come together. They had the Stormers Bulls game last weekend, a bit fatigued. What do you reckon?
It's heart v head. But I mean, if Louis is going to go England, it seems safe to go for South Africa.
Yeah.
So.
I think, I don't know, with Hugard there, you've got a bit of flair, he can open up a game. And then the pack's just enormous. It's just so big. I don't see how they're going to go backwards.
England needs something from outside. I mean, Kirshner's got to make a mistake. Steve's got to give the penalties.
Steve's got to simp in someone. Alberts is more than willing to get simped as well. So is Kutsir. They're going to fly into anything. The rucks are going to be an absolute lottery, so there's potential there.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-1 series to South Africa.
2-1
at the moment. Yeah,
nice.
I think so. I like to think England will rally, but
yeah,
no, I think I'm going to go South Africa to pinch this one.
Yeah, I think you might be right, and I think there's some big futures in the Sun Hemisphere. Etzebeth making his debut, Brodie Retallick making his debut, Crewe. We could see some big new names coming through.
Fortunately, not too many in Australia. So
no one really in Australia. A lot of big names are out.
At least one Hemisphere team.
Yeah. Anyone in particular you're excited to see this weekend?
I want to see... Well, Marlowe is the obvious one.
Yeah.
Can he mix it? But Ben Morgan, for me, I mean, he did do it at Six Nations, and I don't deny that.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the hard pitches of SA... Is he as good as we think he is? Can he carry into a South African pack?
No, that's the question. Can he carry? You'd hope so. He's a big boy, but he's going to look small. I don't know. We should be fine. What do you think about Julian Sevier? Is he the next big thing on the All Black wing?
Well, he was highly tipped last year, but he couldn't catch a high ball. So his progress was put back a year. But I don't think he's going to be put under too much pressure by Ireland, so...
No, you could see him coming good.
Yeah, a cheeky tip for a try this weekend, I think.
Yeah, and anyone in the Wales-Australia game looking forward to seeing? I just want to see if Wales can actually win it. That's going to be the test. Even if it's by one point, that'll be the big test. There's few debutants for Australia. Cooper Vuna making his first start, isn't he? Highly tipped by all the Rebels players on Twitter.
Oh, he can't defend.
No. And against George North could be a good battle there.
Yeah, I just want to see some of the Welsh backs again.
Yeah,
they've done a Six Nations, not too much else, you know.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, earn your money.
Okay, so we're going for South Africa, we're going for New Zealand, and we're going for Wales.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Anything else in the rugby world you've seen this week? Anything interesting? Do you see a guy called Fenton signed for Saris today?
Really?
Yeah, Fenton Wells from the Stormers.
Wow, what position?
I think he's a flanker.
I saw Lorenzo Romano in the front row.
Yeah, I saw Romano signs for Saris.
Oh, right.
It's interesting that a 20-year-old New Zealand locker decided to join Saris, isn't it? And then, just like the Saris factory, it seems like they go into the world of rugby, pick the best players, pick their surnames, and sign someone the exact surname. We've had a Driscoll, Taggy Thackenbow, Berger.
Both there.
Duplessis. And
none of them were real.
We've got Romano. So I'm looking forward to seeing Cooper and Beal join the next few weeks.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. That's all done for week one. Hope you enjoy. This has been you're waving. This has been a good experiment. And we'll do it again the beginning of next week to see how right we were. Excellent. Have a nice weekend. Bye.